Usually, what is best for America is also best for Israel and vice versa. But on occasions, for example, an American president must make a decision that does not, in effect, give the Israelis a blank check. And one example of that is a decision that I made. I decided early on in our administration that we were going to seek good relations with Egypt and others of Israel's neighbors. Many of my Israeli friends didn't like that because they wanted a special relationship with Israel and Israel only. But I have always said that Israel's interests are better served to have the United States a friend of Israel's neighbors and potential enemies than to leave a vacuum which the Soviet Union would fill.
Netanyahu, in power for 25 years off and on, and not looking too good, I would add, with his heart problems and prostate cancer and the rest of it. You're like, great, hope he dies. Israel's so radical now, the rest of the Likudnits are even worse. He's a moderate.
Since October 7th, all Jewish organizations in the United States together have spent upwards of $600 million fighting this avalanche of anti-Semitism. I have one question. Has it helped? Has all this money stopped? Even slowed down the hatred against us? The answer is no.
You hear a text message. I'm a red-blooded Texan. I always supported Israel, but I can't stand what they're doing. I'm turning against Israel. And then you trace the address to some basement in Pakistan, you know? And that's something that has hurt us badly.
So that whole thing about bot farms did not air. Okay, the version that aired on TV included some of what we just played, but it was combined with a section from the very end of the interview, which focused on Israel's tactics to respond to the sentiment shift, not the shift itself.
Israel is besieged on the media front, on the propaganda front, and we're not done well with the propaganda war. No, we don't like foreign countries controlling us. We don't like paying for it. We don't like watching the civilians murder. We don't like all over Israeli TV people bragging about murder and how funny it is and how kill the kids. People don't like this, and they don't like paying for it. Just like pro-life folks don't like paying for killing kids, okay, Netanyahu? That's why Israel isn't like, because of you.
Netanyahu attributes the reputational harm to Israel almost entirely to social media, which he calls the eighth front of the war.
Because it's this. This is yours, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not immune either, because you can penetrate this machine. You can penetrate this little instrument, and you can say about Major Garrett anything you want, and I can paint you as a monster. And if I say it often enough, enough people will believe it.
Is it your belief, Mr. Prime Minister, that nothing that Israel has done, tactically or strategically, has made no mistakes either in Gaza or the West Bank that have in their own way contributed to this negative impression of Israel, whether it's on social media or someplace else?
No, of course. Look, it's war.
And we see the atrocity. So I guess it is true that social media, we're able to see this now. And blowing up the Christian churches and then desecrating whatever's left. I mean, it's out of, and blowing up tens of thousands of homes and hundreds of churches in Lebanon and celebrating it. But now Netanyahu says to draw down to zero the American financial support. He said he wants military partnerships, okay? But here is Netanyahu on the war is over when he says,
is the war with Iran over? And if it isn't, who will decide when it is?
I think it accomplished a great deal, but it's not over because there's still nuclear material, enriched uranium that has to be taken out of Iran. There's still enrichment sites that have to be dismantled. There's still proxies that Iran supports. There are ballistic missiles that they still want to produce. Now, we've degraded a lot of it, but all of that is still there.
Not just saying the war ends when he says, not just saying, oh, people are mad because of social media. No, they're mad because they see what you're doing. They're mad because they see the atrocities. They see the Israelis beating up and killing Christians. They see the homes being blown up by the thousands every week in Lebanon. They see the Israeli ministers on TV bragging, we're going to kill the kids too. And next is Turkey. And we're going to get all of Lebanon and greater Israel and all the megalomania going on. And we control America. Ha, ha, ha. I mean, the only thing you don't have is flying monkeys and a witch flying around on a broom here.
So much work goes into this, and it's all funded by you going to thealexjonesstore.com. So this is a fundraiser time right now. We need to be raising funds because we are launching into the next stage of our, you know, rocket trip. We've shed one booster and now the new one's firing up, and we need you to fill our tank and give us the fuel to get to that next level. So please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. There is a mega sale going on right now. You're getting 40% off methylene blue tincture, methylene blue caps, Ultra DNA Revival, Shilajit caps and gummies, up to 35% off methylene red tincture, colostrum, and MK Ultra, and you're getting 30% off all apparel, shirts, hats, hoodies, and everything else. You know, what we sell you at thealexjonesstore.com are just like these amazing naturally occurring vitamins, minerals, supplements, just CMOS and Shilajit. It just is like God's gift to humanity. At some point, humanity discovers it, and get it at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Wednesday, the 13th of May, 2026. We got a lot of stuff to cover. We have an absolutely giant show today. Obviously, we're going to cover Sebastian Gorka, the new counterterrorism strategy from the White House that I think will take in totality, along with the building of the data centers and the establishing Palantir as the operating system of the New World Order. I think this is just part of a wider scheme to enslave humanity that, unfortunately, Trump seems fully engaged in now, willfully or not. We're also going to talk about, of course, some of the bombshell revelations today, where the CIA is apparently blaming Anthony Fauci for the cover-up of the COVID lab leak scenario. A little ironic, because the person that actually ran the lab leak himself told people who later became whistleblowers that it was the CIA that put him up to it. So we'll try to untangle that tangled web of deception. We'll talk about ticks, of course, and some more very interesting developments there. It's not just America that is suffering under the tick, I don't even know what to call it, evolution, the plague, the attack. Apparently Russia is experiencing a tick problem where the ticks have gone insane, and instead of just waiting in the grass to bite you, will actually try to chase you down. It's crazy. I've seen videos of it. We'll get to that as well. I was going to have Chud the Builder on at 4 p.m. If you don't know who Chud the Builder is, we've had him on before, and he went viral, and went viral several times for basically filming himself interacting with African-American people. And, well, he's made a career out of it. And as of about an hour before the show started, Chud the Builder shot a man who attacked him outside of a courthouse in Clarksville and accidentally grazed himself in the process. Before it escalated, he asked the man if he was going to chimp out, and the man then walked up and sucker punched him. It's unclear if the man survived, and we actually have more information about this. We'll bring you the latest and bring you whatever develops in this. And I just sent him a text and said, hey, man, I understand if our interview's off at four today, but if you did want to come on, be a pretty good story, I think. I think people want to hear about exactly what happened. And I don't know. I'm a bit torn between my, you know, journalistic instincts. Okay, looks like somebody's got the video. If y'all can grab that video, I would like to see it. So I'm sort of torn between, like, I want this interview. I want to get the interview and, you know, talk to him about it. At the same time, I'm like, you probably shouldn't be talking to anybody. So I don't even know if we'll have him on, because obviously there's a lot of people out to get him in multiple ways. And I imagine, I don't, you know where exactly this happened. I guess somewhere in Tennessee, you could very well have a overambitious DA that wants to make his name out of this and wants to send Chud to jail for a long time. So I think for his safety, maybe we'll just call off the interview either way, even if he wants to come on. I don't know if that's the best idea. As you know, everything you say can and will be used against you. So maybe we need to just make sure he's not going to be charged with something before he comes on and tells us the story. He did tell the story, and I believe it's is clip number 9, him saying what happened, because we have a video of him saying what happened. And I mean, this whole thing's been crazy. And to be honest with you, part of why I wanted to get him on is I was like, dude, you're going to get shot. Like, I'm not sure how much longer this can go on, because he would just go out and walk around and people would come up to him and threaten him. And I mean, we got a lot of videos to get to about like the hatred that he inspires and why he's doing what he's doing. I'd love for him to talk for himself, but like I said, maybe he might have to talk to a lawyer or something before he comes on, just so he can know what he can and can't talk about. But here we have the clip ready. This is Chud the Builder on X. You can follow him at Chud the Builder, talking about what happened earlier today when he was involved in a shooting. Let's watch. Oh, no. It's a different one. It's a completely different one. No, that's another example. See, this is the thing. I wanted to have him on because he is... that's the wrong video, crew. No, there's a video... that was clip 9. There's a video of him explaining what happened, if you can find that one. No, that was another guy who's like an insane person. I saw people calling him a meth head. He certainly seems like one. And he, I guess, stole Chud the Builder's hat yesterday. And then Chud was trying to eat at a restaurant and people were causing problems. And so the owner of the restaurant was like, "You're not allowed to eat here." And Chud was like, "Well, I just ordered." And the guy was like, "Ah, get out of here. You can't eat here." So he left. And then they wanted to like charge him with theft for dining and dashing, even though he was the one being harassed and got kicked out of the restaurant. So, you know, he's been under attack, but, you know, really a concerted way for a little while. So I really wanted to get him on because I had a feeling something like this was going to happen. And in part, it kind of proves that what he's doing, you know, it's like, are we not capable of like hearing words we don't like? And the reason I think this is actually an important thing to talk about, it's not just like, oh, he's a rabble rouser. He just goes and, you know, tries to get people angry and then films their reaction. You have example after example after example these days, but I can think of one in particular where a man was stabbed in San Francisco, I believe, by a homeless person. After being stabbed, he called that person the N-word. The person who stabbed him was not charged with the crime. The person who said the N-word was. After you get stabbed, you can't insult somebody. What are we, Europe? What are we, 12-year-old girls in Europe? We're not allowed to say bad names about our assaulters. So like this whole idea of like this word has some sort of mystical power. And we've seen it over and over again where it's just like, some black guy kills a white guy, and afterwards it's like, well, he called me the N-word. And the court's like, understandable, you're free to go, sir. And it's like, so you can just say that? You have no proof of it, no recording of it. It's just like, oh, you killed somebody? Say that he called you the N-word, and then you'll be free to go. And I don't know how we reverse this trend, but certainly I'm in favor of anybody who's standing up against it in a powerful way, because I don't want to live in a country where... somebody pretending that you said a word or thinking that you said a word means that you deserve the death penalty. That's insane. So here's Chud the Builder explaining exactly what happened to him earlier today.
I walked up to him because they're pointing at me. Uh-huh. They're laughing. They're pointing at me. And I said, "What's up, guys? How y'all doing?" I said, "Y'all like the new suit?" He said, "Walk away from me." I walked away from him. He came back up to me. He literally said, "I have PTSD. I feel like I'm in." He said, "You see, started wailing on me even after I had to defend myself by shooting him. He's still wailing on me."
Where's your weapon at?
They have everything.
What weapon is that right there?
I believe that's it. Is that yours?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's talking to him right now.
Oh, no, you guys are good to do your thing.
Okay.
He has a graze. I call it a graze to the left arm. He has slight abrasion right here on his head. Okay. Maybe some scrapes. Slight, light head.
So that was him recounting it, and obviously from police body cam or something. So he apparently was out in front of a courthouse. A guy came up to him, attacked him, started punching him. He pulled out a gun, shot the guy grazed himself in the combat. Apparently he was live streaming at the time, so I'm surprised that video has not been put out. But he's sort of routinely involved in these physical altercations because he walks around and says the no-no word. He says the bad word. And unfortunately for us, some people can't handle that. And it is unfortunate. So I'll keep you up to date and let you know if we hear from him. But we may have to postpone. We may have to postpone our interview with Chud the Builder while he recovers from the... And I guess maybe he was going to the courthouse because of the charge previously. Just crazy. So that's happening. So, yeah, that's what's going on here. Our guests are involved in shootouts. So anyway, we'll move on here. And like I said, we just have so very, very, very much to talk about. Obviously, we started the show with a Bound report. You can find and share that Bound report. Like you can find all of our streams, like you can find all of our articles, like you can find everything that you once used to go to InfoWars to find. Now you can find it at alexjoneslive.com, including the Bound report. Israel's war with social media. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu recently blamed social media for the worldwide backlash against his nation's military actions against Palestine, Lebanon, Iran, and other nations. And we're going to be talking a lot about that today. The Eighth Front War, of course, as it's known. And yes, the attack against Thomas Massie is a part of this. This is Tiffany Cianci saying, what if I told you a group of creators could out-influence $1 million political ad blitz by AIPAC and their billionaires? I'm about to prove that we can do exactly that in the 4th District, Kentucky, as we fight for at Kentucky Massey for Kentucky. I'm calling on every creator who's sick of watching money control everything to meet me in Kentucky the 14th through the 20th of this month. Let's show them what real influence and integrity looks like. And I absolutely love this. And we do need more of this. It's not enough for those of us who do this for a living to just talk about this. We need to be leading the activism to actually tangibly fight back against the big money influence in places like Kentucky. And I don't know what to think of the polls. Here's my thing. I don't know how Thomas Massie could be unseated, even with all of the money poured in. If you remember, Donald Trump came after Thomas Massie in the last election and endorsed his opponent and told people not to vote for him. He still got something like 75 to 80% of the vote. So I wouldn't, you know, expect a political attack like this to really make that big of a dent in Thomas Massie's support. The polls, however, show him actually behind the literal puppet, the AI puppet, Ed Gowrain, his opponent, who has been caught using AI captions on his social media posts by accidentally including the AI, you know, framing of the response in his post. So, like, actually not a real person. It's unfortunate. And he was picked for, you know, obviously having a stellar CV. You know, he's like a Navy SEAL for a long time. He's like a farmer. On paper, he seems like a great candidate. But that being said, it's Thomas Massie. I mean, how many congressmen's names do you even know? There's 435 congressmen. I think if you asked Americans to name 10 of them, a lot of people would name Thomas Massie because he's gotten stuff done, because he has been a champion for his state, and because he has been the target of this attempt by foreign influence to unseat him in favor of a literal puppet, a pay-to-play AI creation. And then there's the fact that, like, yesterday or the day before, there's a Me Too scandal about Thomas Massie that just nobody believes. The woman is, like, totally discredited, apparently. She's apparently done this before to other people. It's also like, do you really think we're going to buy this? We get it. AIPAC hates Thomas Massie. Miriam Adelson, Paul Singer, they hate Thomas Massie. We know. Oh, and now he's being accused, even though it's Thomas frickin' Massie. It's like, what the hell are you talking about? It reeks of desperation. So that's why I don't necessarily believe the poll numbers that I'm seeing, because if Ed Gowrain was really that far ahead, they wouldn't be pulling out all the stops and acting so desperate to try to do just absolutely anything to stop Thomas Massie. which apparently is what they're doing. At least that's what it seems to me when you have this ridiculous Me Too story shopped around days before the election is meant to happen. I actually want to go to an ad from Thomas Massie, and then we'll play that clip from Tiffany Cianci, as I know she's a part of a lot of people going to Kentucky these days. Folks, we're so close. We're like, we're getting things settled. We're getting things hammered out here. You'll notice I have a new computer. I will be able to call out the correct clips from now on. I'm literally setting up my computer during the commercial breaks because this is how new it is, because we are just trying to rebuild after having been struck down by the show trials. So I don't know if we'll actually be able to make it to Kentucky, but we will certainly be in contact with the people there, and give us 6 months or so, and we will absolutely once again be hitting the road and engaged in this type of stuff, because the dangerous thing about Alex Jones and the dangerous thing about InfoWars and now the Alex Jones Network is not the fact that we talk about stuff. Obviously, the information is important. This knowledge is important. Getting attention on these facts is crucial to our mission, but in service of activism, in service of getting involved. It's not enough just to know this stuff. We have to get involved. We have to be the ones leading the marches. We have to be the ones going to places like Kentucky in order to try to shore up support for Thomas Massie, because this is a bellwether. It's a litmus test for the nation. Let's go now to this pro-Massie ad talking about the people funding his opposition. Let's watch.
Eddie Galrine is bought and paid for by the LGBTQ mafia. Far-left trans activist billionaire Paul Singer is bringing his trans madness to Kentucky. Singer is spending millions to remove Massie. The gay mafia will own woke Eddie.
And over a period of time, I and my team became quite friendly with legacy gay rights groups, including hardcore Democrats.
Paul Singer is a major pro-gay, pro-trans activist who works with far-left hardcore Democrats.
And so, I became very interested in being a funder of gay rights groups.
Galrine doesn't share our Kentucky values. He is with the weirdos. And if Galrine wins, the weirdos take over. On May 19th, say no to woke Eddie Galrine and his billionaire club of LGBTQ weirdos. Re-elect Thomas Massie for Kentucky, for America. Restore Freedom Pack is a project of Hold the Line Pack. Hold the Line Pack is responsible for the contents of this advertisement.
Reject the freaks and the weirdos. I love it. But don't you get it? Paul Singer is just complying or comporting himself with the modern dichotomy. Just ask Sebastian Gorka. The only thing that makes you Republican is support of Israel. That's it. Doesn't matter. You can be a hardcore transgender activist. You can be Alan Dershowitz. You can be a lifelong Democrat stalwart who believes in welfare and open borders and transgenderism and everything else. But if you support Israel, you're a Republican. And if you don't, you're not. We'll get into the Sebastian Gorka crap in just a little bit. But that is exactly what Sebastian Gorka is saying. I don't even know if these guys are on the right. Why? Because they don't support Israel. Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes are on the right, you idiots. But that's not really what they mean anymore. They're trying to redefine it. So it just makes sense that Paul Singer is now a, conservative activist, even though what you just saw, it doesn't make any sense. But he supports Israel, and that's the only thing that matters. So there you go. Let's go now to Tiffany Cianci at The Vino Mom on X. That's The Vino Mom. Hashtag creators for Massie. Hashtag Kentucky Surge. Hashtag We Ride for Massie. A lot of content creators, really of all stripes, who care about personal liberty, are writing to Kentucky to make a difference. Y'all have the video?
This is everything wrong with American politics today. This is what happens when a politician serves the interests of his voters, constituents, and the American people instead of the interests of billionaires and their pedophile friends. But I have a plan to stop it, and it's going to take every single one of us, and we're going to start right now because Thomas Massie needs our help, and he needs it today. Story time. 8 days ago, I was sitting at a lunch table in Washington, D.C., across from Congressman Thomas Massie, when he pulled out his phone, showed me a tweet, and asked me, Miss Cianci, did you mean it when you sent this? The tweet in question? I will fly to Kentucky and bring every follower I have across every platform to fight for Rep. Thomas Massie. POTUS has grossly misjudged how done the citizenry is with bought and paid for politics. And the answer I gave him? Absolutely, Congressman, what do you need? He said, that is exactly what I need. Can you help me? Now, if you're not familiar with what's going on in the 4th District of Northern Kentucky, right now, Representative Thomas Massie, an incumbent that boasts the highest approval rating of any member of Congress, according to voters across the United States, is currently fending off a challenge from a primary candidate named Ed Gallrain, a guy nobody's ever heard of before. But Trump said that was fine because he just needed a warm body and Kentucky voters would vote the way he told them to. Now, all of that would probably seem fine if it was just a regular primary, but it's not. What's actually happening right now is that in retribution for Thomas Massie fighting so hard to release the Epstein files and back the victims of Epstein's crimes, these three billionaires right here that have zero ties to Kentucky have spent nearly $13 million in one of the smallest districts in the U.S. that currently has a primary to try to unseat Thomas Massie for refusing to protect their pedophile friends. Now, Representative Thomas Massie is very popular, so he's actually raised more than almost any member of Congress. And still, these three Israeli donors that have no ties to Kentucky are outspending him 4-1, drowning and flooding this district in ads that are using deepfakes to misrepresent words, make up statements he's never said, lie about him, knowing he doesn't have the money to fight back. You see, AIPAC regularly brags about the fact that they have financially supported 80% of winners in congressional races, and I've also seen them congratulate themselves for up to 90% in prior election years. But at the beginning, I promised that I had a plan and that I was going to stop this corruption. I am done with billionaires buying elections and overriding the will of voters. And so today, I am calling on you to tag every creator you know that is within driving distance of Kentucky. Now, that's a big swath, okay? Within 5 hours, you've got Ohio, Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, Tennessee, Arkansas, Alabama. You've got Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland, New York, Delaware, Pennsylvania. I need you to tag every creator you know on this app, and I need you to tell them that we ride at dawn for Thomas Massie, because that's exactly what we need to do. I want every major creator that is available on this app, no matter where you fall in the political spectrum, if you are against corruption in politics and you want to make a difference, I need you here in Northern Kentucky at the Cincinnati Line. And I need you here by Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Those are our three early days. Early voting is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the 14th, 15th, and 16th. And final voting day is Tuesday, the 19th. And so if you are within driving distance, I need you in Kentucky. I'm already here waiting for you.
All right, so that's and Tiffany Cianci. Follow her on X at the Vino Mom. Voting starts tomorrow, folks. So tomorrow, Thursday through Saturday. Please share this content if you're in Kentucky. Get out to vote. Go knock on doors. Go hand out flyers. This is where the rubber meets the road. It's not enough to talk about this stuff. We have to fight back if we want to defeat the influence of these foreign billionaires and support a real American hero. Stay with us, folks. We're on the other side.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have been running a series of flash sales for only 2 days. And the last sale ended last night, Saturday night, like I said. I'm announcing this live on air Sunday night, the 10th of May, 2026. So you have 2 days through Monday into Tuesday to get a massive buy one, get one free deal at our sponsor that owns the Alex Jones Network. Keep us on air, thealexjonesstore.com. And these products really work. Obviously, I want to be the most accurate news. I want our products to be the best. So you take them and you love them and you get blown away. Now, let me tell you about Shilajit. You can go research it. Even top scientists don't know how it happens. It's millions of years old. It's mainly in the Himalayas and a few other mountains, like the Carpathian Mountains and others. When they have a big earthquake, it will be revealed, and it's like this black tar inside the rocks. And it's full of all these insane peptides that just do amazing things for men and women and stamina and energy and libido and everything else. We have private labeled at thealexjonesstore.com the top-rated brand in the United States over a year ago. So when you get our Shilajit, you are getting the top-rated brand, private label by us, at a price a little bit lower than it's sold at Whole Foods and in stores around the country. This is, we don't reinvent the wheel. Most of our products are just a private label of whatever's the highest rated, whatever's the best. That's what we go out, we get, we private label it. You get it from us, it funds the operation. So, if you've never taken our show, Jesus is about last year, it's got 5-star ratings, 90%+ reorder rate, galaxystore.com. Buy one Shilajit naturally flavored gummies, pineapple, get one Shilajit gummies bottle free. It's a huge bottle full of these delicious gummies. Just take one a day. It's ultra concentrated, the highest quality Shilajit, and a bunch of other super nutrients as well. Also, ultimate creatine. Not all creatine is created equal. Everybody knows it's great for muscles. It's even better for the brain. Look up creatine and Alzheimer's or brain boosting. We have the very best creatine, the very best type. Read the type it is. Look it up. We're not making that up. We want to sell you what really works. You can get Shilajit gummies, the very best, with the best creatine in a 48-hour buy one, get one free sale right now. So either one of those, the Shilajit gummies, the ultimate creatine, you have 48 hours as of Sunday night. It ends May 12th. You have 2 days to take advantage of this right now at TheAlexShowStore.com. Now, there's another big sale that ends in a couple days. 3 different bundles. The Modern World Survival Stack, normally $147, now $89. Shilajit Capsules, Atomic Defense, Immune Booster. It's good for your whole body. The Irish Sea Moss Capsules for a massive discount. That is the Modern World Survival Stack. We have the Gut Detox Defense Stack, Zeolite Detox, highest quality private label of zeolite that detoxifies spike protein, heavy metals, draws it out. So important, an incredible zeolite detox defense with the T3, best iodine on the market, the most pure on the atomic chart. One of the main things the enemy does is make sure there's not good iodine in the food supply. We have the very best, or most of the iodine that's out there is bound to another element, so you don't absorb it. This is pure iodine. It's incredible. T3 to affect to iodine and bovine colostrum, a private label, the highest quality bovine colostrum out there. Women already know about this. It's the main thing women buy from us, but it's your skin, your hair, your eyes, everything. The first 2 weeks of any mammal's milk is just super powered. That is what this is, concentrated bovine colostrum. Normally $148, now $99. And some other big sales are about to end as well. Take advantage of them now and fund the Second American Revolution worldwide. Be the reason we stay on the air at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Want to thank you all for your support. Be a VIP. Get $40 to spend free in the store now as well. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Keep your hand on your gun. Don't you trust anyone. Keep your hand on your gun. Don't you trust anyone.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. We do have a lot still to talk about. Obviously, I don't even know where to begin, pretty much. Like, it's like too crazy, because I want to get into Sebastian Gorka, but if I talk about Sebastian Gorka, then I gotta talk about everything that has to do with the current counterterrorism plan that Trump has, and then connect that to the wider establishment of the global biometric control grid. And do I really want to dive into that right now? Because there's so much other giant news today that I think we'll start with. I think actually we'll start with the CIA testifying today to the Congress, blaming Dr. Anthony Fauci for covering up the Chinese COVID lab leak by injecting himself into a top secret probe. And we can go to clip number 15 here. This is that CIA whistleblower testifying to Congress about the involvement of Anthony Fauci in the great cover-up. Let's watch.
Paul and other members of the Oversight Committee, thank you for the complimentary introduction, and I appreciate the committee's dedication to transparency and accountability. I am a career CIA operations officer And as you mentioned, I was on joint duty assignment at the Office of Director National Intelligence, Directors Initiatives Group, or the DIG, between March 2025 and April 2026. I was responsible for leading the DIG's investigation into COVID origins, anomalous health incidents, and unidentified anomalous phenomena. I'm here today to discuss the COVID cover-up, the national security implications associated with the DIG's investigative findings, and CIA refusal to comply with lawful oversight, as well as how we remedy these problems. Intelligence community leaders and senior analysts downplayed the possibility that the COVID pandemic originated as a result of a lab incident. Motives are difficult to define given the scope of the DIG's review. Intentional or not, the IC's actions resulted in a cover-up, wasted resources, and a failure to properly inform policymakers. Public health policy would have been very different had the American public been made aware that a virus from a lab in China was going to serve as the foundation for an emergency use authorization mRNA products being mandated by the former administration. Dr. Fauci's role in the cover-up was intentional. Dr. Fauci influenced the analytical process and findings by leveraging his position to ensure the IC consulted with a conflicted list of curated subject matter experts, public health officials, and scientists. This included some of the authors of the paper, The Proximal Origin of SARS-CoV-2, and other public health experts who have been in his orbit for the last 20-plus years. Some of the scientists were part of the Biological Sciences Experts Group, or the BSEG, an office of Director National Intelligence Advisory Body, whose members often receive considerable funding from NIAID and public health agencies. The BSEG scientists influenced national laboratory WMD research, policy decisions, finished analysis, and other intelligence matters, creating misaligned incentives and conflicts of interest, as well as counterintelligence issues. Since 2006, the BSEG consulted part-time on biodefense issues for the IC while conducting government.
So, again, I we know this already. You know, this is another one of these things where it's like, okay, they're going to come out and confirm what we already know absolutely, with absolutely no question, no vagueness in any of this. We have the emails from Anthony Fauci himself where he's directing people to go launch a, you know, counterattack against the fact that this was a lab leak. Again, I don't know why people don't. Do you understand what's implied by this? Do you understand that they're covering it up because they knew the answer, and them knowing the answer means that they withheld crucial information that would have altered the entire trajectory of the lockdown, the pandemic, the vaccine, all of it? All of it could have been better, could have been easier, right? If they'd come out right away and said, we know where this virus came from. It came from this lab. We can dissect its exact DNA sequence and handle it that way. Like, they pretended not to know to put you in a state of fear and uncertainty so they could take advantage of that and force you to do things you wouldn't otherwise do, while also hiding up their complicity in the creation and the release of the virus in the first place. Do we not understand the seriousness of what was just revealed, what was just confirmed for the umpteenth time about Anthony Fauci not just knowing the truth about the source of the virus, but actively engaged in the cover-up of it while telling people, as the spokesperson for the U.S. government at the time, that they didn't know where it was or that it was, in fact, zoonotic? People got kicked off the internet, like banned off X and all sorts of places because of that lie. And they knew it was a lie the entire time. But why is the CIA telling us this? Why is it a CIA whistleblower talking about this? According to whistleblowers from within the NIAID, Ralph Baric said to them, the CIA got me to do this. So is this the CIA covering up their own complicity in this activity by trying to blame it on Anthony Fauci? Was it not strategic to come out with this information literally one day after the statute of limitations expires? I mean, is that not the biggest joke in the world? They literally wait until one day after the statute of limitations expires to have this new whistleblower come out and say this. And do you know that Event 201, the chairman, the chairperson of that event was Avril Haines, who became the director of national intelligence under Joe Biden? So for the CIA to come out and say, oh, this was Anthony Fauci, he forced our hand, he injected himself into this process and made us do these things, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. The head of national intelligence under Biden was the woman who was the chairperson for Event 201, the training seminar where they practiced and, you know, decided exactly how they would treat the misinformation about the lab leak scenario that they had already planned on discrediting before the virus was even known to the vast majority of the world. So I think we've got, like I said, a very tangled web here. The story is at Daily Mail. An active CIA agent has accused Dr. Anthony Fauci of orchestrating a cover-up that derailed American spies from blaming the COVID pandemic on China. CIA officer James Erdman told senators on Capitol Hill that in August 2021, the intelligence community was on the verge of concluding the pandemic leaked from the lab in Wuhan, China. I'm sorry, what? I missed that part. Y'all get it? You get what I'm laughing at? August 2021? This is what I mean. It's like, okay, what's really going on here? Because I can show you a video of me in January of 2020 saying that it came from the lab in Wuhan, China. It took them, what, 21 months after that to come to the same conclusion? They're all playing games, folks. The CIA was behind this in the first place. That's so funny. August 2021, they got around to figuring out where the virus was from, did they? Okay. That wouldn't have been helpful by that point. By that point, the damage was done. This is what I mean. Well, what are they actually doing? Is it just theater? Is it just to make people like me think that they're doing something? Think that things are coming out? Think that cases are being progressed? Because as far as I know, whistleblowers before have said that Ralph Baric, the guy who was managing the whole operation in the first place, was taking instruction from the CIA. Avril Haines, who almost certainly had CIA connections before ever being a part of the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, was the one running Event 201. I mean, what the hell? August 2021, the CIA finally comes around to the most obvious fact about the virus from the very beginning. Literally, it's that video of me standing in front of the White House. We were in D.C. I'm pretty sure it was January 20th, 2020. January 21st, 2020. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, it either came from this wet market down the street from the Level 4 bioweapons lab, or it came from the Level 4 bioweapons lab with a history of safety violations. We knew that in January of 2020. And the CIA expects us to believe that it took him until August 2021 to figure it out. BS. Just days before the bombshell finding could be released, Fauci injected himself into the probe and significantly influenced intelligence officials to drop their conclusion. Fauci was then head of the NIAID. Dr. Fauci's role in the cover-up was intentional, Erdman told the Senate Homeland Security Committee on Wednesday morning. Dr. Fauci influenced the analytical process and findings by leveraging his position to ensure the IC, intelligence community, consulted with a conflicted list of curated subject matter experts, public health officials, and scientists. Republican Senator Rand Paul told Erdman, a career CIA special operations officer, whether Fauci played a significant role in CIA scientists abandoning their consensus that the disease originated from a lab. It was significantly influenced, Erdman replied, before claiming that documentation shows CIA was poised to declare COVID a lab leak on August 12th, 2021, just 5 days later, on August 17th, that position had mysteriously flipped. Ooh, that Anthony Fauci. I'm not buying it. I don't know. I'm not buying it. I think that this is all a orchestrated cover-up on top of the cover-up. This is a cover-up on top of the cover-up of Anthony Fauci's cover-up of the lab leak origin. That's my interpretation of exactly what's going on here. But that wasn't the only thing that the quote-unquote CIA whistleblower, who I trust less now than I've actually... And that's crazy. August 2021, really. Let's go to clip three here. This is was another, you know, bombshell announcement from the CIA whistleblower, this time about some classic conspiracy theory topics. Let's go to clip number three. Let's watch.
The CIA refused to provide information necessary to understand why analytical standards at the CIA were violated. The CIA illegally monitored the computer and phone usage of DIG personnel, their investigations, and contact with whistleblowers. These were Americans being spied upon illegally while executing duties directed by the president and under the authority of the Director of National Intelligence. One CIA contractor assisting with the DIG's investigation into the events that transpired between 2022 and 2023 was fired by the CIA 1 day after meeting with the DIG. When the DIG ceased operations, the CIA also took back 40 boxes of JFK files and MKUltra files being processed for declassification by DNI Gabbard.
You know, there was once a president who wanted to shatter the CIA and scatter it to the winds in 1,000 pieces. Whatever happened to him? Whatever happened to that guy? Oh, right. He was shot in the head by a lone gunman. From behind, of course. I think it's time. I think it's time we shatter the CIA and scatter it to the winds. I think they are exclusively negative in terms of their impact here in America. Let's get rid of them already. Can we, please? So, you know, it's just sort of like more of what we already know. It's a little bit frustrating. Same type of thing over and over again. We know Anthony Fauci was involved in the cover-up. It's never a question. That's not been a question. It was obvious from the beginning, just based off of the way he was acting and the facts on the ground. Like I said, somehow we figured this out in January of 2020. We're not super geniuses. We don't have spy devices in the NIA ID. We just looked at the facts and went, okay, here's what happened. These people are evil. They created a virus. They're releasing the virus. They're going to use the virus to lock down the country to get mail-in ballots so they can cheat. So they can, I mean, this was all obvious. But okay, fine. Now we have another whistleblower coming out and saying again what we already know. And we've got, like, we can't get the facts about events that occurred 70 years ago. We cannot get our own government's files on investigations into the murder of our president in the 1960s. So this is like a it's like a big problem, obviously, or it's more like a symptom of a big problem. It would be nice to know the truth. It would. But that's not really the concern here. The concern here is that it's like, how are we ever supposed to move forward when we have a 50-year backlog of lies and manipulation and deceit? And for the past 50 years, every new lie, every new act of deceit is piled on top of those initial lies and acts of deceit. How are we ever supposed to regain control of our country when we can't even get access to a bunch of files about a bunch of dead people? Everybody involved in JFK is dead. There's nobody they're protecting. I think they're protecting the nation state of Israel and their very apparent involvement in the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Just look into it a little bit. So that in that way, it sort of falls into everything else that we talk about today. It turns out, folks, it really is the answer to why all these things are happening. Like, it's not actually that complicated. Why don't we have the JFK files? Israel. Why'd we go to war with Iran? Israel. Why are we building all these data centers out? Hey, guess what? It's Israel. Maybe a step or two removed, but I think I'll be able to lay that out for you today.
So, you know, it's just one of these things where it's almost so ubiquitous that it's overwhelming, and it actually, like, makes you sound crazy for telling the truth. It makes you sound like an obsessed anti-Semite if you just lay out all of the various ways that Israeli influence in America over the last century or so has destroyed this country from the inside out in, oh, so many different ways. It's a little frustrating. It's a little bit frustrating. It really, and there's a lot of things. Like, I don't like talking about this stuff. I like this being a family show. I like talking about things that everybody can watch without throwing up, but I do have to cover Israel a lot. And when you cover Israel, you have to cover things like Israeli soldiers training dogs to rape prisoners. You think I want to talk about that? You think that's something I want to say on the air? It's absolutely not. But this is what we got to do. This is where we got to go with this. This is what we got to talk about. It's unfortunate and it makes you sound insane, but it's the truth. And it's one of those things where you'll see people posting this. There's very well-sourced reporting on this exact fact. And under it, you'll see people comment being like, hey, look, I'm not an Israeli shill or anything, but like, you can't just be saying this crazy stuff. You sound insane. And it's like, this has to be a strategy, right? This is a strategy that you do things that are so evil, that are so out of left field, that anybody talking about them sounds insane. Is that a strategy? And it's like, again, sort of ubiquitous when it's like, who do you think killed JFK? Israel. Why'd we get into Iran war? Israel. Right? You're just like, Israel's the answer to everything. It's like, wow, this guy just is obsessed with Israel. Or Israel does all these bad things and maybe we should all be a little bit obsessed with it until we can get out from under their influence, because it's clearly so incredibly negative and continuous and it just goes on and on. So we'll talk about it. We will get into it, folks. Don't you worry about that. And it's pretty interesting. It's pretty fascinating the way in which you can study the Eighth Front War like a real war, like the attack and the counterattack, the defensive maneuvers, the full frontal assaults. It's very fascinating stuff. And so what happened last week, this week, sort of in the last few days, is that you have this guy, Nicholas Kristof, who wrote an article for the New York Times called The Silence That Meets the Rape of the Palestinians. So this type of thing. I got 4 minutes left in this segment. I'm just thinking out loud here. This is what's going through my mind as I'm covering the news. I got clips of Israeli soldiers on national television bragging about doing this. I'd like to show that to emphasize that, like, we're not making this up. This is insane. I have the story that actually exists about the systematic rape of Palestinians in Israeli jails, people who've never been charged for a crime, and yet some who have been hospitalized or killed as a consequence of the sexual assault, including dogs being involved. There's a lot of detail in there you'd want to get into. But then on top of that, you have the counterattack where Israeli Hasbara propaganda media published a gruesome and largely fictitious account of what happened on October 7th, because apparently they somehow figured out that this story about Palestinian rape victims of Israel was going to come out. And so they countered that with their own explosive and bombshell story about October 7th. However, that story was written by somebody who's been a proven fraud and makes a bunch of claims that have been disproven routinely since they first emerged. So that's fascinating, the way in which the Eighth Front War is being carried out and they are countering factual information with non-factual information. I want to get into that. But then it goes deeper, because I got to say, you start talking about the R word, and I can't help but want to transition over to people like old Jeffrey Epstein and the way that rape has been weaponized in all sorts of ways during this and other conflicts, including a story from the Rolling Stone from a guy who grew up living on the same block of Jeffrey Epstein, who says every single child in their neighborhood was sexually assaulted by multiple people. that might be a topic we want to look into and talk about. It might also explain some of the mindset that you see around the country. After all, my favorite meme of all time, that is my least favorite meme of all time, the picture of the 1950s family with the subtitles that are like, I've raped my wife. And the wife's like, I'm zonked out on sleeping pills. And it's like, well, yeah, no wonder a bunch of people think that the night. Yeah, yeah, this is, we just, I need it like tattooed on my forehead or something. I bring it up every show. But it's because it's so informative as to the belief system, the view of this. If you haven't seen it before, it's 1950s family looking lovely. And of course, all of the subtitles say, you know, reveal the underlying disturbing, degenerate, disgusting, abusive facts of life under the sheeny, you know, nice looking exterior. And it's like, it's pure projection. Because apparently some people live in communities like that. Some people, like Jeffrey Epstein, grew up in communities where it looks nice. It looks like a 1950s white picket fence, Leave It to Beaver, you know, style of neighborhood. But in reality, they're all getting raped behind the scenes. It's like, this is crazy. I've got a story. It's in the Rolling Stone. It's a full-fledged thing. It's the guy who grew up right next door to Jeffrey Epstein, knew him when he was a kid. I was like, yeah, it was a fact of life. Wasn't a fact in my life, not in the neighborhood I grew up in. But it's easy to understand how somebody involved in that would think everybody's like that, would think every family presenting itself as, you know, loving and carefree is in fact this, you know, seething, bubbling cauldron of hate. It's like, no, dude, this is you. This is you, apparently. I grew up with Jeffrey Epstein. Our neighborhood held dark secrets. So we're going to return to this on the other side. We're going to talk about rape. We're going to talk about rape in all of its various forms and all of its various uses by Israel in their desperate drive to conquer the world. So we'll get into it. We'll talk about it. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com to support absolutely everything that we do here. Methylene Red Capsules are a new product that we have on offer at thealexjonesstore.com. They're the Methylene Red Capsules, built for everyday people who feel tired, foggy, worn down, mentally drained from everything happening every day. You can get it now at thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. When we'll be back on the other side, talk about all this crap.
Draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro. Let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at thealexjonesstore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now, I'll see you on the front lines of the InfoWar.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching alexjoneslive.com. It was declassified in 2025. The CIA and the FBI under Obama's command launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of this operation. So take the link, alexjoneslive.com, and the link, alexjonesapp.com, for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages, with everybody you know, and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are alexjoneslive.com and alexjonesapp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now and break the back of the globalists. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.